that we have used to be the target of who we're trying to reach in the community here. We've used these among us pastors. We've figured out who they are and how we can best reach them. That's why I chose those as the people, the personages of this story. It's entitled Josh and Kate's Absolutely Horrible, Miserable, and Downright Depressing Holiday Season. Chapter 1. You might say that Josh and Kate Rundgren were the typical American family. Married 7 years now, they had Ryan, age 9, and Madeline, age 5. They lived in the suburbs and would be classified as upper middle class. This Christmas would be the worst. Absolutely horrible, miserable, downright depressing. And also the best and most life-changing moment in their lives. Our story starts on December 1st, a Sunday. The Rundgren family is sitting in church, something that has become an increasingly rare occurrence. Josh is fidgety as the pastor drones on. He can't follow the message because he doesn't know the Bible story, which the pastor naively thinks everybody knows. He is thinking about work. EAR Communications is hoping for a big December. There's the rollout of a new cell phone plan that has been heavily marketed. Josh has been on the project for 9 long months. It has consumed him. Kate's mind, too, has wandered. She is a nurse and has never more looked forward to her shift because of Chad. Chad is a male nurse, handsome and witty. He has paid her a lot of attention. She thought he was gay at first, but now he has given her reason to dispel that notion. Kate thinks, he really gets me, really understands me. On the other hand, she is so disappointed in her husband, Josh. He works all the time, and when at home, he goes down to his basement office and is on the computer for hours on end. The pastor raises his creaky voice, and they both snap to attention. Simultaneously, they both wonder what world this pastor is living in. He seems to have not one relevant thing to say. We take a break from the story. Let me read you some Bible verses. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ who is in the image of God. From the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and make it unfruitful. And from Isaiah 55, verse 11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. If you come to a worship service on a Sunday morning and you've stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning, you're not prepared to hear the word. God has a word to speak to you every time you enter this place. And it may be a different word for the person sitting next to you, but he definitely has a word. God has a message. We all want that auditory message, don't we? We all want to hear him say, should I do this, should I go that way? But he is speaking to us. He is speaking to us by his word. And through my mouth, and through Pastor Justin, Pastor Mark's mouth. when you come to church, you should come with a readiness and a yearning to hear God's word, because there is something being said that is directly related to you. It is hitting you right where you live. It was meant for you. That it's meant for others around you, well, okay, but it was meant for you. And so you have to come prepared for this. Most of us find the distractions that we have in our life to burden us and actually keep us from hearing the word of God. Who's at work here? What was that first verse that said? The God of this age. Who would that be? Satan, absolutely. And the seed that comes and falls out, that's the word of God, by the way, the seed. And what happens? The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the stress of living our lives, the problems that we have. And so we're so easily distracted. And we might miss the very word that was meant for you, meant for each of us, in its own particular application. Josh and Kate, they're missing it. Back to our story. In the car home, the kids are grassing again. Josh snaps at them. Kate defends them. They're hungry, Josh. Let's just go to McDonald's and get them something to eat. Kids are making gleeful noises. Yay! Let's go to McDonald's. Josh retorts, my mother used to make great Sunday meals. Kate smirks. After we're done at McDonald's, you can drive 200 miles and go to your mother's house. After more harsh words, they didn't speak to each other for the rest of the day. Kate would work that Monday. She worried constantly, leaving before the kids were out of bed. She prayed that she was not the mother that she should be. Then there was money. Were they making enough? Credit card bills, the big mortgage, kids in private school, Josh's non-stop unexplained bills. You would think that with two combined salaries of over $150,000, they would have enough money. But they don't. Her mind wandered. Guilty thoughts of Chad arose. Such thoughts blanketed over all her worries, at least for a moment. Josh took the kids to school. He was bleary-eyed. He had watched hours of porn the last night. He felt terrible about it. He vowed that he wasn't going to do that again. It would not happen again. But every time he fought with Kate, it seemed to give him permission. Four or five drinks didn't help either. Kate had complained about the unexplained credit card charges, and she would be furious to learn that it was porn and vodka. They were great stress relievers for him. He had to stop those. Galatians 5, 19-25. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Josh and Kate are trapped. They don't even know it, that they're trapped. It's not that they want to go on the pathway that they're on, but they're stuck. They're stuck in their sinful desires. If they would hear this passage, which they wouldn't hear rightly, not at this stage of their life, but if they would hear this passage, they would say, well, the Lord forgives. But what they wouldn't understand is that they're living this life, which puts them apart from the kingdom of God. They don't have that Spirit been able to break the chains, pull them out of the ditch. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He puts in different appetites. He breaks the bonds that hold us in the sinful life. When you heard that list, you could probably say to yourself, well, everybody does one of those things. That's right, we do, we sin. However, we don't make compromises. We repent and we seek the Spirit's help to lead us back on the pathway. But when you're in a ditch and you stay in the ditch, if you stay there long enough, you end up apart from God. At work, pressure was on for Josh. The rollout coincided with Christmas shopping season. He was on the lead group, and their plan could vaunt his company into the upper tiers of business cell phone usage. Problems had already surfaced, and Josh's stress was greater than ever. Frank, his immediate boss, put it to him plainly, Josh, you have to come through on this one. Fix the software glitches. Josh thought, another 12-hour day. He was hoping at least to get a drink at the sports bar down the corner. At 12:30, Stan, his childhood and still best friend, popped in and said, want to grab some lunch? Josh envied Stan a bit for his easy hours at the bank that was kitty corner across from his office building. He was also slightly annoyed with Stan because he and his wife were overt Christians. They would say things like, God bless you, and we're praying for you. And most annoying of all, he would relate some thought they had on a sermon or Bible study, and on occasion actually quote a scripture verse. Josh, clearly looking overwhelmed, replied, I wish I could, but I'm under so much pressure right now. Thanks for the offer, Stan. Josh winced as Stan said, well, I'll pray for you that Jesus helps you through this time. What was it? That name Jesus, for some special reason, especially hurt Josh. But he said it perfunctory, thanks, Stan. Second Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Stan was an ambassador for Christ. Every Christian should know that they are too. You know, it's not just good enough to be nice in this world. God didn't call us just to be nice. Called us to be ambassadors. Witness. A witness in Greek, and I know we have a Greek scholar here, In other words, if we're ambassadors, we have to risk for our Heavenly Father. We have to make it a point to represent Him well. And just being nice, well, that should be a given, to be friendly. But Christians should take it a step forward. How many of you know some non-Christians that are very nice? You know some?
Right.
Me too. I like that they're nice. I like to have neighbors that I can talk to that are nice. But it's something different when you know you're an ambassador for Christ. As we look forward to Christmas, we know that the Savior of the world came into the world. And you know, people need Him. And we're the ones that need to represent Him to those who don't have Him. Meanwhile, Kate's shift had hit a rapid pace. She was on a surgical team, as was Chad. During a break, he approached her. Her heart raced. Kate, how about joining me for a super late lunch after our shift? I've taken the liberty to pack a picnic lunch, and we can go to nearby Crossview Park. It's supposed to be a beautiful day. Kate flushed. Well, I have to pick up my kids and... Chad smiled. Couldn't somebody do that for you today? He was so ardent and so pleasing. His smile never broke. She answered him that maybe her friend Sarah could pick them up. In that moment, she called Sarah and explained that she had to assist in a special surgery. And was there any way Sarah could pick up her children along with hers? Why she had to lie, she really didn't know. She knew Sarah would be willing because Sarah had a great heart and seemingly was always ready to help her. Though Sarah would be considered shy and quiet, there was one area of her life where she was needed. She, like Stan, was a bold Christian, especially bold about expressing her faith in Christ. Kate was always a bit amazed when this introvert suddenly became an extrovert when speaking about Jesus. A transformation had come into Sarah's life after her battle with cervical cancer. She feared she would never have children. Not only was she cancer-free, but she had a great husband and two beautiful children. And she was different from all other of Kate's friends. She was sensitive and winsome, and when she spoke of her faith, oh, she was so strong, so bold. Revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I always love that verse. Because I believe, and this, you've heard this before, but I believe in divine opportunities. You know what I mean when I say divine opportunities? How much of your life do you think is just happenstance? Just willy-nilly. If you've been a Christian for some time, you know that's not how God operates. Someone says a word to you, and you wonder, where did that come from? Someone shares a need with you. I'll never forget one of my former members, former church. He said to me, he was a truck driver, he said, a guy came to him, he wasn't even very close with this man, and he said to him, what he said he wanted to say is, you know, there's a God in the heavens, and he sent his son Jesus Christ, and he gave us all a great purpose for living. That's what he should have said. I'm sure he's had more chances. I'm sure of it. You will too. At the park, Chad had everything. A blanket, gourmet foods, his cell phone on Pandora. How did he know this was her favorite music? Her favorite foods, even her favorite park. He was so very attentive to her. She knew this wasn't proper, that she was vulnerable right now, but it all felt so good. And Chad was such a gentleman. After the food was eaten and they had talked over for an hour, Chad looked at her intently and said, "Kate, you are so beautiful. Inside and out. I've never met anyone like you. It's as if God put you in my pathway." Chad continued, completely focused on her. "Kate, my apartment is right over there. It borders this park. Would you do me the honor of coming over there with me? I think you are the love of my life. I think God himself has brought us together." My last verse. It's kind of a long one, an important one, from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, that all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Let me just summarize what it said so far. All it's saying is they were all equal in God's blessing and favor on them. These are the Jews coming out of Egypt. All of them had started on the same foundation. Continuing. "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And did not grumble as some of them did, and they were killed by a destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it." Have you ever been where Kate is right now? Have you ever been where you know it's the wrong way to go, but it's enticing, and you just want to put out of mind any words of the Lord or morality or all that because it feels right? We're all tempted. I don't know what tempts you exactly. I know what God put before me at times. It's a test. Why he tests us, I don't know. We'll get to heaven and ask him, but he tests us. And we can go that way, which we should go that way. Or he always provides a way around, a way to get out of the temptation. Temptations given into will always worsen our life, will always have consequences. He wrote the word, God wrote this word through Paul to give us a warning. Don't go that way. See what happened to the Jews who did. let's conclude our story, at least chapter one. Kate stared at Chad and felt warm all over. Fleetingly, she thought about her husband and her children, but that faded quickly. And then she answered him, "Chad, I would..." That's the end of chapter one. The real dramatics come next week. There are disturbing turns that happen next week. But like so much of life, disturbing turns can lead to good things, possibly. I'm not promising you in this story that it's going to be a fairy tale ending, because it's not. It'll have a good ending, but it'll be a bittersweet ending. I hope that the story can have an impact in your life and make us ready for Christmas, a true celebration.